Get to continue on with the questions from the Bible. How many of you have notes? Good, put those away. We're not using those. It's not wasted paper, though. I'm glad you said that. Here's what's interesting. As I was preparing for this message this week, as I always do, I started with my dad's notes. And they're great notes. But as I walked through them, here's what's interesting. The Lord spoke to me about my life. And the Lord said, you don't need all this. It's a great step-by-step process. It's fabulous, and you need to walk through it at home. But the Lord said to me, it's not that hard. If you want to grow in your faith, it's really not that difficult. And everybody knows how to do it. We just don't. And so tonight, I just want to walk you through what the Lord showed me about my own life. And I've already cried my tears at home, so I don't have to do it today. I've already been convicted at home and confessed my sin before I got here, so we're in good shape, I think. But I want to kind of walk you through the journey that I walked through as the Lord just began to share with me about why I've become stagnant in my own faith over the years in my life. And I've had real mountaintops and I've had real valleys. Anybody else had those? I wish we could do another survey. How many of you in a mountain? How many of you in a valley? The truth is, most of us spend most of our time in the valley. You know, I remember in seminary one time, a professor talked about when it talks about the hills and the valleys that, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he talks about there's literally places when they were walking through the desert. They couldn't see, when they were down here, they couldn't see Jerusalem. As long as they could see Jerusalem, they had strength to make it. When they could no longer see it because of they were down here, they forgot how close or how far away they were. They were kind of like the Smurfs, you know, how far are we now? How far are we? Are we almost there, Papa Smurf? Not far now. That stuff. And they got frustrated because they couldn't see it and they wanted to give up. But then they'd just peek over the hill and go, I see it! And then they'd all get excited and they could walk again. And so we all have valleys and mountaintop experiences. But I think most of us live a lot of our life in the valley. Not because that's where the Lord wants you to be, but we just like it there for some reason. It's not like we want to be there. We're gonna end with that today. Why are we there even though we don't want to be there? And we're going to get there, but I want to pray for us, and as we do, we're going to read some scripture, but I want to read this verse for you, then we'll pray, and then we're going to read a verse together so you can stand, and we'll do that whole thing. How's that sound? 2 Timothy 2, verse 14 and 15. All through Timothy, he's talking to Timothy about Timothy. And then he gets past who Timothy is supposed to be. He's got all these commands for Timothy to do. Be this, be that. Don't forget your calling. Don't forget the truth. Don't forget this. Do this, do this. And then he says about the church, remind them of these things. And solemnly charge them in the presence of God not to wrangle or fight about words, which is useless and leads to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. I want to share one thing with you, and then we're going to pray, and we'll stand and read from 2 Peter. Normally, we read this verse, and we read this. Study to show yourself approved. There's nothing wrong with the word study, except that in our day and time, we don't know what studying is. See, we would say some people study kind of and others study diligently. You want an example of that? I studied for the final. My wife studied every day just to learn the material. She studied diligently. I just kind of looked at the material. But both in the English language would say we studied it. Not true in the Greek. Study here means to be diligent in something. Be diligent in God's word so that you can accurately handle it. You can show yourself to be an approved workman of God. And so tonight we're going to talk about what does it mean to grow in your faith? Well, let me tell you the first thing it means is you and I have to be diligent. We can't be lackadaisical. If we want to truly grow in our faith, we can't just come to church on Wednesdays and Sundays and say, I've been faithful. So let's pray. Father, today as we read your word, would you speak to your people? Would you speak to your church? To each individual as you've spoken to me. And Father, just give us the truth. Even Father, when it hurts, allow the truth to set us free from that which the devil has set up as a trap, so that we really can have fellowship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to read from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 15. If you'll get there, you can stand with me. I'll be reading from the New American Standard. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 15 reads like this. Now for this very reason, also applying all diligence, in your faith supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you. I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by a way of reminder, knowing that the laying aside of the earthly dwelling is imminent, as also our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will also be diligent that at any time after my departure, you will be able to call these things to mind. You may be seated. Did you see the word diligent? Okay. Did you see the word diligent? Let's try that one more time. Did you see the word diligent? Is it not in the King James? Maybe that's the problem. It is. Okay, good. I'm just checking. Here's the thing. I'm going back to an old style of preaching tonight, which means if you talk back, we get out faster. Okay? Who wants to try that one? Okay, see, I'm glad there's some participation going on now. Here's the thing. It didn't take God a long time to give them a message to me from my own life, so it shouldn't take that long to give it to you either. Amen? Okay, so here's what it says. It says, I want you to be diligent in what you do. You've already been firmly established in Christ. If, in fact, you are Christ's, you're already established. You don't have to be diligent in trying to be His. You are His. But you need to be diligent in what you do so others will know who He is. You need to be diligent so that when the devil tries to remind you of your past, you can remind him of his future and of your future. You see, the reason most people doubt their eternal place of rest is because they're living a life of impurity. They're living a life that they know is not pleasing to God. For the most part, the reason they're that way is because they're not growing in their faith. You see, there's only two things to do. You either grow or you die. I don't know if you know that, church, but that's true for the church as well. The church is either growing or it's dying. I'll never forget, I was at a church one time and I asked this church if we could come together and form one church, because they were a church of all people, everyone in the church over 85. There were 13 of them. We were a church of about 80, nobody over the age of 50. And actually only two of them over the age of 40. And so I was like, y'all have land, we have people, let's join and let's do something that could be amazing. And he was like, no. And you know what's happened to them? They're dying. Not because they haven't told the truth and what, because eventually if you're not growing, you're 85, then you're 86, then you're 99, then you're 126, and then you die. I wanted to make sure I got way far ahead so y'all didn't say, he doesn't want to die tomorrow. The church is either growing, say it with me, the church is either growing or it's dying. There's only two options. The same is true in your faith. Your faith is never going to be dead. Can I say that to you with you again? Your faith will never be dead, but you will feel like it's dead because it is atrophied. Do y'all know what atrophy is? I learned atrophy after my first knee surgery. I had knee surgery, and they said, you got to stay off it for a while. I didn't stay off it as long as I should have, but they said, you got to stay off it. Well, I stayed off it for like 2 weeks, and I looked at my legs, and I was, where is my muscle? There is a bone there. And the doctor said, that's atrophy. I don't like atrophy. And then I realized that when you worked it out, I could lift a ton of weight with this leg, and this leg was like a baby leg. It's like, what is going on here? Atrophy. Because the muscle is still there, but it's now like a baby again. A muscle can do that, and so can your faith. Because if you don't use it, you lose it. You'll never really lose it, but it will certainly look like it's gone. And then what does God do? God allows things to happen in your life so that you'll exercise your faith. You'll exercise your prayer life. And all of a sudden, look at that. That muscle is coming. I'm a man of faith. And then you go, I'm a man of faith. And then you stop exercising your faith again. And the devil goes, you ain't no man of faith. You're right, I ain't no man of faith. And then you look down, and what happened? Atrophy again. Don't you know God's like, why do you keep doing this? I mean, he is the great physician, amen? Doc, if a man came into you every week and had atrophy every month, wouldn't you say to him, dude, get a clue? I mean, at some point, you're like, you got to do something. And don't you know the great physician's looking at you going, that's not why I created faith for you. I created faith so you would exercise it, so you'd work it out so that you could be closer and have communion with the Father. That's the goal, amen? So, faith is like a muscle. And so here he continues to throw the word. What's the word? Diligence. Be diligent. And he talks about how every time he's with them, he wants to remind them. Paul says, I know you know this, but I'm going to make sure you hear it again. I know you know it. I say Paul, didn't I? Peter. I know you know it, but I'm going to say it again. Be diligent. And not only you'll be diligent, I, as your leader, will be diligent. Why? So that I can show myself approved, not to you, to God. Not so that you'll go, ooh, John is a man of faith. No. Truth is, you don't have a clue what I'm about. You don't live with me. My wife doesn't even know what I'm about because I can even fool her at times. My mom thinks she knows. And she probably does. But you can't fool God. He knows right where you are right now. And so, diligence is a word that I wanted to deal with. But as I started thinking about it, I was like, how does that work? And then I read this verse that says that we're to pursue righteousness. Now, we're going to come back to it in a minute, but just so that you have it now, it's in 1 Timothy 6:11 and 1 Timothy 2:22, where it says, flee the desires of the worldly gain and pursue righteousness, faith, love, all these things. And then in 1 Timothy 2:22, now flee from youthful lusts, pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. I love the fact that if we want to be diligent in something, we've got to be willing to pursue it. We've got to be willing to go after it. And then I thought, man, this is going to be a good Bible study. Let me go look up the word pursue. And it blew me away. Because it's a word I never associated with the word really to pursue. Let me show you where this word is used. Turn to Matthew 5:11. You know this verse. You probably don't need to look it up. I'll just say the first part. Blessed are you when people pursue you. That's the word there, pursue. It's persecute too, but the word literally is to pursue someone. Matthew 5:12 also. Matthew 5:44. Pray for your enemies and pray for those who pursue you. Right. Yes, persecute is also, I mean, you can use both words, but my point is, it's not just they're over there going, hey, you loser, do you really believe in Jesus? And you can walk out the door and leave them. No, they follow you out the door. They're pursuing you. You can't get away from them because they're following you. Anybody ever feel like that? I'm there most of the time. Like, why can't the people who want to compliment me, why can't they follow me? Why is it always the people who are like, John, did you hear what I, John, call me back, you know? So, they're pursuing. All right, let's go on. Acts 9, verse 5. This one blew me away. Saul, why do you pursue me? Who are you, Lord? I'm Jesus, whom you are pursuing. This is where the Lord really jumped on me. It's possible to pursue the Lord in the wrong way. You can pursue him for his glory, or you can pursue him for your own. You can pursue him for your stuff, or you can pursue him for his stuff. You can pursue him for your reasons, or you can pursue him for his reasons. You can pursue him that others look well on you, or you can pursue him so he'll look well on you. Why do you pursue the Lord? Why are you here tonight? You see, to pursue, actually, that word can actually then, diakos. And that word can then be compared with the word we use, diakonos, which is the word we get deacon from. One who hurriedly gets the dust up. A servant. The idea here is that what the Lord wants us to do is to pursue him and do it quickly. To pursue him and do it correctly. How in the world, John, am I supposed to grow in my faith? Here's how. Diligently, quickly, and follow him. What does Luke 9:23 say? If any man wants to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow or pursue. There is something about wanting to pursue him. Acts 26:11. Paul, talking about himself, says that he kept pushing the church. He kept pursuing the church and pursuing the way. The first church, before they were called Christians, were called the way. And he was pursuing them to kill them. You see, there's a reason you pursue everything you do. Before I go to the next thing, my question is, I wonder what it is you really pursue. It's not hard for you to know what you pursue. It's what you spend your time doing. If you spend all your time at work, then what are you pursuing? Not so quickly. You see, I want you to think about it a minute. It depends why you're going to work. If you come to church, who are you pursuing? See, it's a trick question. It depends on why you come to church. It's not what you do that makes the difference. It's why you do what you do. If I'm pursuing church so that I can get a job from one of you people, then is that a righteous thing? No. If I'm pursuing Christ because I heard if you give your life to Jesus, my bills will get paid. Is that pursuing his righteousness? If I pursue a job so that I can make money, does that honor God? Not that itself does it. You can honor God with his money. But the pursuit of money does not honor God. Now, if I work for the purpose of making disciples, then why am I working? I am pursuing God. If I play basketball to win disciples, I am pursuing God. You see, it's all about why we do what we do, not what we do. So many of us want to jack with people who don't go to church. But you know, I have more honor for people who don't go to church and act like the world than people who come to church and act like the world. Because you're showing what you are pursuing. You see, out of the heart flows every wicked thing. If on Sunday morning you sit out in the lobbies or you sit in here and you talk about things that God is not honored with, you're not pursuing His righteousness. You're pursuing a laugh. You're pursuing fellowship with somebody, not someone who you need to be fellowshipping with. That was free. How about this one? Philippians chapter 3. Let's read this one together. This one's going to blow you away. If it doesn't, you maybe have a callous heart because it blew me out the water. Philippians chapter 3. Now, Paul starts Philippians 3 by talking about who he is. That he has everything in the world to boast about. He is a somebody in the religious world. And then in verse 7, it reads like this. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I've counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them but rubbish so that I might gain Christ. And may be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know Him, that I may know the power of His resurrection, that I might know the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His into His death. I lost it. There He is. Being conformed to His death in order that I may obtain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained it, or have already become perfect, but I pursue on so that I may lay hold of that which also I lay hold of by Christ. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I pursue on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of Christ Jesus. Paul is on a pursuit. Anybody know Joe Zeckley? I called Joe Zeckley this morning as an experiment. Kim's with him right now, so it was a good experiment. But I called him. I said, Kim, let me ask you, now, if you don't know Joe, Joe is a Major League Baseball coach, hitting and a catching instructor for the Major Leagues. So you think he's busy right now? He's crazy busy. So I called him. The only time I can catch him is early in the morning before he goes out. And so I called Joe and I said, Joe, what's going on, buddy? Nothing. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, have you watched the news lately? What? I didn't tell him what I was doing. I was just, it's an experiment. I said, Joe, have you watched the news lately? He said, well, John, he actually tried to apologize. He's like, well, John, I'm kind of busy. I said, well, I know. I'm just asking you. Don't get mad. I'm just asking you a question. Have you watched the news? He said, no, I don't have time to watch the news. Because, see, I had just read a verse. And the verse said this. Paul says, I'm a warrior for God. And a warrior does not put himself into civilian affairs. Why? He doesn't have time. A warrior doesn't have time to say, you know what? What's going on in politics right now? He's got a battle he is fighting. And in the same way, you know why you and I worry so much about when Jesus is coming, when Jesus is not coming, how the world's going, what's going on? Because we ain't got nothing better to do than to sit home and watch Fox News. Am I lying? Some of you, I know some of you don't do that. But even I do it. You know why? Because I haven't thought of anything I got to do today. So I sit down and I watch the news. And or I watch a TV show. That's what I do. I'm not talking. Listen, this sermon's not even for y'all. Y'all need to pray for me. This is about me. I do that. I get home and I got nothing better to do, so I turn on the tube. But you know what? I do have something better to do. I need to be active in pursuing my Father because He's actively pursuing me. Amen? He's actively looking to have a relationship with you. That's why He died. He died so that you could have a walk with Him today and for eternity. Not just for eternity, but today until eternity. He's pursuing you. I'll just talk about me. I don't always pursue Him. And so it brought me to a verse. Brought me to a verse that that I thought about years ago, and it continues to jack with me. The Bible says, I'll give you the verse. The Bible says in Psalms 121:4, that God doesn't sleep, nor does He slumber. Man, I sure am glad. Sure am glad when I need Him, I don't even have to call Him. He's already watching. Not only watching, He already knows. But here's another verse for you. That's who God is. Proverbs 24:33 says, a little sleep, a little slumber, just a little folding of the hands to rest, and your need will come on you like a vagabond, and your scarcity like an armed man. You see, as children of the King, we got business to do. You know, a prince doesn't have a lot of time to rest. He's got a lot of delegation stuff. He's got a lot of things he's got to do to keep the kingdom growing for his Father. And that's who we are. 2 Corinthians 5:20, we're His ambassadors. As though God were making His appeal to others for us to beg them on God's behalf, make peace with God today. That's our job. Everything we do is centered around that. But we can't do that if we're not actively pursuing Him, because if we're not actively pursuing Him, we don't know who He's talking to. And if we don't talk to the one He's talking to, we're wasting our breath. Y'all ever done that before? Y'all ever talked to somebody and thought, you know, I just wasted my breath? Well, the good news is you're never really wasting it, because the Bible says that He takes everything. His word will not come back void, but it will continue on until it finishes the work that God set it out to do. But listen, one of the greatest things in the world is to know who God is working on, and then just talk to them, and you'll see miracles occur. You'll see lives changed and transformed. But that doesn't happen until you spend time with the Lord to know what His plan is. I can't tell how many people say to me, John, well, I don't have the gift of evangelism like you have. Listen, the gift of evangelism is great, and I understand all that stuff, but here's what I'm saying. I have known people who don't have the gift of evangelism who are prayer warriors, and God still puts them in the place where they talk to people all the time, and those lives are changed. But the difference is those people are actively pursuing the Lord. I'm not actively always pursuing the Lord. So how do I grow in my faith? I've got to be diligent. I've got to actively pursue Him. And I've got to leave something behind. It says, flee evil. Flee the lustful youths, the youthful lusts of the past. You've got to get rid of something to pursue something new. You see, the Bible says you can't both follow money and the Lord. You can't serve both money and the Lord. You've got to figure out who it is and what it is you're going to pursue. And if you're after money, God will let you have money, but it will be at the cost of your walk with Christ. Will you go to heaven if you've given your life to Christ? Yeah, but you're going to be miserable here because you're not going to be where you know you need to be. So that brought me to the question I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, well, I don't understand. What do I do? Because, Lord, don't you know that I want to be this guy that pursues you. And the Lord took me to Proverbs chapter 13, verse 4. Look there real quick. Proverbs 13, 4. The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing. Lord, I want to pursue you. Lord, I want to have this walk with you that's like people that I know. Lord, you know that guy over there? I want to pursue you like he pursues. I want to have a walk like he has with you. And the Lord says, good, because that's what I want from you. Good, that's what I want. Good, that's what I want from you. Good, because that's what I want. Good, because that's what I want from you. And we stay there. Why can't I get there? Because I'm a sluggard. The sluggard man, the soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing. But the soul of the diligent is glorious or fat. Y'all know anything about that? Glorious? Being fat? Yes, you do. Look at you and compare you to Madagascar. Y'all are all fat. All of you. All of you. My son is big compared to some Madagascar people. The Bible says the soul of the sluggard, it craves, but it gets nothing. But the soul of the diligent one, he gets fat. Why? Because the one who's diligent, he does something about his cravings. Now, listen, here's what's interesting. I know it's possible. Because at midnight, if I'm craving Taco Bell, hello, I will go to Taco Bell. If I am tired, it won't matter. I will go to Taco Bell. The other night, we were watching some show, and the pizza commercial came on, and I ordered pizza. And it's like that advertisement thing that says, you don't believe in you don't think advertisement works? Just did. I craved it, and I bought it. If you really crave, if you really desire him, and it's not working, it's because you too are a sluggard like me. You've got to do something about it. You've got to become disciplined and become diligent, which leads me to the last verse. And I'm going to read this from the Message. I don't even want you to look it up. Just write it down. You can look it up later. I want you to listen to it read from the Message. Typed it up big so I wouldn't mess it up. I'm still probably going to do it. I want you to think about the fact that the Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And the truth is, you and I don't starve physically for nobody. We don't fast even much for nobody. But spiritually, we're starving. And the reason we're starving is because we're pursuing everything else except the thing that honors the Lord. So I want to read this to you and just see what you think. This is from the Message. Again, found in... where did I say it was found? Proverbs chapter 6, 1 through 11. Dear friend, if you've gone into hock with your neighbor, or locked yourself into a deal with a stranger, if you've impulsively promised the shirt off your back and now find yourself shivering out in the cold, friend, don't waste a minute. Get yourself out of that mess. You're in the man's clutches. Go put on a long face and act desperate. Don't procrastinate. There is no time to lose. Run like a deer from the hunter. Fly like a bird from the trapper. You lazy fool. Look at an ant. Watch it closely. Let it teach you a thing or two. Nobody has to tell it what to do. All summer it stores up food. At harvest it stockpiles provisions. So how long are you going to laze around and do nothing? How long before you get out of bed? A nap here, a nap there, a day off here, a day off there. Sit back, take it easy. Do you know what comes next? Just this. You can look forward to a dirt poor life, and poverty can be your permanent house guest. You see, church, I don't need to tell you how to grow in your faith. We all know how to grow in our faith. You spend time with God. You pursue him. You spend time with him. You make him your number one priority. Do you remember when you first gave your life to Jesus? Do you remember that urge to just learn? That urge just that you can't get enough? That came because of the newness. And then the newness wore off and you kind of chilled out. And then we have these times where we go up and down and up and down. Here's the thing. If you would just keep pursuing the Lord, you don't have to have the up and downs as much. You still have some, but it doesn't have to be this. But the problem is, I want to read this again, the last part. When you and I sit back and take even a day off, this comes from the verse, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding hands rest. It says, take a little nap here and there, a day off here and there, sit back, take it easy. Do you know what comes next? You look forward to a, and I'm going to change the words here so you understand the spiritual nature of it. You can look forward to a spiritually dirt poor life. And spiritual poverty will become your permanent house guest. Church, that's not who I want to be. But God knows that's not who I want to be. And that's why God goes, good, I don't want you to be there. But God, I don't want to be there. Good, I don't want you to be there. God, I don't want to be there. Good, I don't want you to be there either. At some point, I've got to make a decision to pursue the Lord and be diligent. Let's pray. Father, I simply pray this. Today you dealt with me about my spiritual poverty and about my lack of pursuit sometimes and about how I grow cold sometimes to do the things that got me into your presence in the first place. God, there are some here that they're spiritually wrecked because they've never surrendered their life to you. Lord, I pray that today would be the day where they surrender their lives to you. Saying, I don't want to play the game of church. I want to pursue after my Lord. I want to pursue a diligent walk with the Savior. Lord, I pray that today, if that be them, that you would cause them to do what this verse says, that they would be desperate enough to ask the Spirit to fill their life today with His presence by giving you their life. Father, there's others that Maybe they've given their lives to you. Maybe they've confessed you as Lord, but Lord, they've never been baptized. They've never, since becoming a child of God, they've never followed through with baptism. I mean, the whole idea of that is to follow you in baptism, to pursue you in what you did. Pray that today would be the day they say, I got to get that right. Whether they need a church home to pursue the Lord with, to hold them accountable, to push them on, to remind them of these things. Father, this be the place for them. Father, I pray you'd cause them to just come and say, I want this to be my church. And Father, there are others. It was me today. Lord, I'm thankful you heard my prayer as I prayed today. Who just need to repent. And just say to you, God, I've not actively been pursuing you.